Welcome to Ask the CIO, brought to you by Learning Tree International. And now, here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Ed Doris, the Chief Information Officer of the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency in the Treasury Department. Ed, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me and giving me this opportunity to share what's going on over at the OCC from an IT perspective.
Well, you know, it's been a while since I've actually had the OCC CIO on, so I'm going to go back and start at the beginning. Usually I don't do this with my second time around, but I know the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency is not a usual suspect when it comes to interviews and such. So give us just a little bit of a background. What is the mission and how do you support that mission as the CIO?
OCC, we charter, regulate, and supervise all national banks and federal savings associations. Our goal in a supervision perspective is to ensure that they are operating in a safe and sound manner in compliance with the laws requiring fair treatment of their customers and fair access to credit and financial products. We've been pretty busy over the last couple of years. Dodd-Frank has impacted a lot of what we're doing, which has indirectly impacted my office as well. In general, my organization, our goal is to provide our highly mobile workforce. We have roughly 4,000 employees. About 1,200 are at headquarters, and the remaining 2,800 or so are located throughout field offices. We have four districts, and we have roughly 100 field offices throughout the nation. But our goal is to provide secure and hassle-free access to the data and tools that they need to conduct the daily supervisory activities of the banks and federal savings, as well as providing them the ability to collaborate both internally and externally with stakeholders, with customers, with the banks, et cetera.
I really like the hassle-free. That's a great line. You don't hear CIOs say that very often because, unfortunately, CIOs have that reputation of CINOs, right? I'm sure you've heard that before. So go a little more into that hassle-free environment if you can.
Our examiners, like I said, are highly mobile. They're on the road for most of the time, traveling from bank to bank, doing their supervisor activities. And they rely on that technology to do their work and connect back to the headquarters, as well as keep in touch with their peers across the organization. And the hassle-free comes in if they have an issue with their PC or they need access to data, they should get that relatively easy. And we've taken a hard look at how we provide hassle-free service, as well as one of our fundamental goals as part of our strategic strategy is reduce the burden on our customers, on examiners. Give them more time to do their job. And we do that primarily through operational excellence. We focus on a couple of key cornerstones here. One is optimizing our processes. A process can be complex, dealing with tier one, tier two service, or it can be doing our patching. But we rely on Lean Six Sigma techniques and practices. We benchmark with other organizations to get the leading practices that they've employed. We don't reinvent the wheel. We foster employee engagement. We conduct annual surveys to see how our employees are doing. And we measure and maximize customer satisfaction through annual customer satisfaction surveys. We work with OPM and use their customer satisfaction framework. And our goal, again, is to reduce operating costs, but also reduce that burden on administrative type activities so they can really focus on examining banks.
When you talk about surveys, are you talking about a survey done just throughout OCC by OCC, or is this just an IT office survey? So CIO does the survey of their customers to find out, do you have the right equipment? Do you have is access easy enough? Would it be better if you had, you know, iPad versus a BlackBerry Playbook or whatever the needs are?
Yes, the surveys go out through a random sample of our customer base, like I said, once a year. And it's focusing on the services that they're getting, the products they're getting, the tools, the response they're getting from my organization. It's a very extensive customer satisfaction survey that we then take back and we develop action plans. And they're very informative. And it's both based on empirical data coming back from the survey responses, but the most value comes out of the comments, the narrative that are provided by the individuals, both at headquarters and across the field.
Can I ask a little bit about the survey? Where did that idea come from? Was it something that was already being done by the CIO's office when you got there? Or is it something you initiated and why? Because one thing when I talk to CIOs, I don't hear a lot of surveys being done by CIO offices. I hear all the time the OPM survey, of course.
Right. I currently report to the Senior Deputy Comptroller for Office of Management, Tom Bloom. And Tom has formulated this framework of operational excellence, and the survey part is a big piece of it. We need to hear the voice of the customer. What do they need? When do they need it? How do they need it? And that allows us to set our direction, our priorities. Again, looking back at the empirical data that comes from the survey.
I think that's fascinating. I think it's something that you don't hear a lot of CIOs doing again, but you do hear a lot of CIOs talk about how they are a service organization. The old IT is an enabler, which we've heard for a dozen years now. But you guys acting with that survey does change the way you guys look at your customers as a customer service organization.
That's correct. I mean, we really have a finger on the pulse of what the need is. And we've been going through about a year and a half, two-year journey now, and really focusing on our service desk, looking at tier one and tier two. And we've reached out to industry. We did some benchmarking. We've done some process improvement around our tier one activities. And we now have a model in place that it's off and running. We're 6 months into this new model. And as part of it, the call center, the service desk, has been sourced to a company, Facile in Arlington, small business, and they provide the day-to-day telephone coverage. We've also implemented, as part of the customer service and looking at that customer experience, the ServiceNow solution, cloud solution. It provides our ticket information and a very robust front-end web-based self-service model for our customers to use. And it's taken off. We're seeing a lot of interest from our folks both at headquarters and the field in using this technology.
Now, previously, you guys had a more typical help desk, whether it was run internally or whether it was outsourced to the industry, where someone would call, they would decide tier one, tier two, and then kind of go through the process.
That's correct. And it was somewhat fragmented where tier one was on a front line taking the calls, and then the response would be sent over to tier two. We've integrated that very closely now, primarily through ServiceNow on that technology. It allows workflow, the sharing of information readily. But we've also implemented metric reporting. We're tracking things like ticket cycle time, first day resolution, first call resolution, drop calls, call waiting periods, and we can really see where we're performing and meeting the customer needs versus where we got to either increase resources, improve our knowledge base articles, tweak our processes. Our customers in the field, our examiners on the front line, when they call that service desk, they want to be able to get their issue resolved then. And if it's a complicated issue that can't be addressed through the knowledge base articles that tier one agents have in front of them, then there's a warm transfer now to tier two, where that more technical issue can be addressed right then. Our goal is to, again, at first call resolution, to turn the issue around quickly for them.
Can you give me an example of something that you've pulled from the survey, a response that you got from your customers in the field, where you've now made changes based on what you saw in the survey?
Well, I think what I just talked about, the whole integration of the tier one, tier two, and that desire, that need to have the answer to a question or the service met when they call the first time. Again, our folks on our front line are extremely busy. They're often at banks, locations, conducting business. When they have a technology issue, they need that answer quickly. So that feedback in our survey from last year resonated clearly. In fact, I travel to the field once a year and meet with a senior leadership team, and that was the number one issue. Ed, we need, when we call the 800 number, to be able to get that response right then and there. We can't wait for someone to try to call us back because we're on the road and moving.
That's fascinating. The fact is that of all the issues that they could complain to you about, all the technology, do we really have to use this cybersecurity, whatever? But the fact is they said, we just need the answers. And I think that's right. That sums up all of us, right? When we call our credit card company, when we call the help desk anywhere, we just want an answer.
Right. We need it quickly. Again, we're on the move and we're constantly going. We've also, as part of the solution or the new service delivery model, introduced chatting. You can now chat with a tier one or tier two customer agent, service agent. And again, the self-service is taking off. It's a big change. It's a big change internally within my organization with a focus and emphasis, but also with our customer base. Again, we're about 6 to 8 months into this. And I can, and looking at the metrics, again, things like the first day resolution, first call resolution, ticket time, we're seeing the trending in the right way, and that won't technically influence the customer's satisfaction surveys.
All right, very nice. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about some priorities, both old ones and probably some new ones, even though you gave us a little bit of a heads up. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Ed Doris, the Chief Information Officer of the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency in the Treasury Department.
Get empowered with the IT skills you need to improve performance and help your agency achieve its goals. LearningTree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. LearningTree is on GSA IT 70 and MOBIS 874 schedules, which means all levels of the government and qualified contractors get the best tuition savings possible. Save even more with LearningTree's 50% off select IT and management courses each week. Simply visit their website today at learningtree.com/CIO. And even better news for the Beltways, save on travel costs and commuting time by attending live, hands-on, instructor-led courses at one of 10 LearningTree centers, conveniently located around the Washington area in Columbia, Fulton, Manassas, Stafford, Quantico, D.C. Metro Center, and more. Helping you achieve your agency's mission is LearningTree's number one priority. Act now to get 50% tuition savings. Go to learningtree.com/CIO. That's learningtree.com/CIO.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Ed Doris, the Chief Information Officer of the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency in the Treasury Department. Now, Ed, before break, we were talking a lot about the makeup of your organization in many ways, the survey that you guys do of your customers. And again, I find that fascinating and probably one of those best practices that doesn't get enough attention in the CIO community. The last time I talked to the CIO at the OCC, again, it's probably been 2 or 3 years ago. One of their major priorities at the time was optimizing customer service. I think we've talked a lot about that, and again, fascinated by the survey. But the other piece was also modernizing your infrastructure, whether it was cloud or mobile at the time, or enterprise business systems modernization. Give us an update of where you're at in terms of modernizing that infrastructure.
This past year, we completed our data center consolidation effort. We had 3 data centers. As part of Dodd-Frank, one of the activities was to integrate the Office of Thrift Supervision, OTS, with the OCC. And along with bringing the staff on and the mission requirements on, we also brought the technology. And that involved a data center as well as a number of applications that we have been working to integrate. But back to the data center, I had 3 data centers. One was a 20-plus-year-old legacy data center out in Landover, Maryland. It started with mainframes and evolved over several years to the technology footprint we're on today. But we had reached the limits of what we could do in that facility in terms of power, redundancy, connectivity, floor space, and as well as security, the physical security. So, again, we went back to our basic foundational framework for operational excellence, and we did some benchmarking with organizations, both within the private and public sector. And it was kind of interesting going through that process how things had changed over the last couple of years, where there was a lot of activity in the industry, especially locally here, around building these data center facilities and providing a variety of options of the services you receive, whether it's just the facility and you manage everything from the floor up or the entire managed service. So we spent some time visiting organizations, both these facility providers as well as other organizations with leading practices. And our model focused on we would lease space at a facility. We went through a competitive process for that. And we would run our own organization, run our own data center, the day-to-day operations. So today we consolidated 3 data centers out to Digital Realty Trust facility in Ashburn, Virginia. We went through 3 moves. We did a lift and shift primarily, and I've been out there operating now since the December timeframe. It's a lights-out facility. We have no staff on site. Everything's done remotely through our network operating center. We do send staff out there on a regular basis, on a scheduled basis, to do upgrades requiring physical movement of servers, et cetera. But it's a big change for us. We have full redundancies. It's a Tier 3 plus facility. It really has allowed us to address some of the expanding or big data needs coming out of Dodd-Frank and other initiatives in terms of having the power we need, the floor space, the connectivity, and then the redundancy.
One of the things about data center consolidation that we hear a lot about is OMB came out with their idea of let's get rid of data centers. And then they moved to, okay, let's stop getting rid of data centers per se as our only main metrics, and let's look at optimization of data centers. You made a comment I want to follow up with you on about lift and shift. I imagine that's a simple way to say you took what you had somewhere else and put them in the new data center. But at the same time, you probably said, well, this server has running one program on it that we could shift to a different server. And you did that optimization. You looked at your power. You looked at all those pieces that were in place, because it doesn't make sense for you not to at least make changes as you're making this move.
Correct. We had a couple of time drivers here. One was the integration of OTS and OCC we needed to move out of that existing data center facility. Likewise, the lease on our current facility, our legacy facility out in Atlanta, was coming to an end, and we needed to expand based on the expanding data needs. So we really had like a 12-month period. Now, fortunately, as we were leading up to that, we were going through server virtualization, consolidation, really shrinking our footprint down on the number of servers. And we were upgrading and modernizing our storage area network environment to accommodate the increase in storage, but also to help us where we're doing data replication in preparation for the move. So, yes, there was a lot of prep work for that. We did implement new technology at the new data center. For the most part, we took what we had, given the time sensitivity and what we had prepped for, and moved it over to the Ashburn facility. And that required extensive planning. It was excellent the way it worked out. We probably planned for 6 to 8 months on this initiative, and we went through several moves, and we hit our mark on that Monday morning or that Tuesday morning each time, having systems up and available and running.
You flipped this switch and it worked.
It worked.
And that is the key, as you know, from customer service. If it doesn't work, it doesn't. Nothing else matters. You talk about getting yourselves in position for big data, the big data analytics that come with the Dodd-Frank and some other things. How is the new data center helping you do that?
We now have the power. We have the floor space. We have the redundancy. We had a bandwidth for the telecom out there. We essentially re-engineered our network between our headquarters building and the new data center. But we've also done some things specific to dealing with the big data. We have partnered with our economists, who really are some of our big data crunchers, where they've historically had jobs that would run for days, if not weeks, on some of the legacy equipment. And we've introduced and implemented SAS grid computing, parallel processing going now, where those jobs that used to take days and weeks are now hours or days. And we've hosted that at the data center, and we've also introduced the enterprise-level storage area network, EMC solution, that complements the grid processing with enhanced storage and able to deploy storage on demand as needed and really track where we need to focus our attention in terms of expanding that storage over time.
It's amazing when you talk about the SAS grid computing, cutting back on the time it takes to process big chunks of data or process information. Was that expected, or was that kind of something that the economists said, we need to do this better, it needs to improve?
Well, again, I'll go back to one of our foundational premises around operational excellence, and that's benchmarking. And we did a lot of market research. We pushed the envelope on this with the volumes of data and leveraging this grid computing. We reached out to financial institutions that process big data, academic institutions. We worked with research companies. We spent a couple of years in preparing for this and really doing our homework and worked closely with industry. So it was not an overnight decision. It was based on extensive benchmarking. And again, not reinventing the wheel, but in some cases we were pushing the technology envelope on this one. We did a lot of piloting and prototyping. We started small, and we're still incrementally rolling the solution out. We have another year at least or so and expanding this to where it needs to be. I do think this will go beyond our economics group. I believe our large banks and mid-sized community banks, as we get further into big data and data visualization, analytics, they'll need this back-end processing. The other area that we focused on was the front end, providing better tools, better self-service tools for data visualization, analytics, dashboarding. And, for example, we brought the Tableau product in, and we've deployed that across the organization where needed. It's allowing our folks on the front line to take this data and parse it and present it and report it in a manner that makes sense for them. Likewise, in addition to increasing our storage area network, introducing grid computing, we just went through a major PC refresh and upgraded all the PCs across the organization. So the PCs have that capacity, or the laptops have that capacity to do the data visualization using the Tableau and other products.
Wow, a lot going on. I mean, this is some major moves you guys are making here. So I want to go back and look at each of them in a little more detail, but let's take a quick break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Ed Doris, the CIO of the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency in the Treasury Department.
Get empowered with the IT skills you need to improve performance and help your agency achieve its goals. LearningTree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. LearningTree is on GSA IT 70 and MOBIS 874 schedules, which means all levels of the government and qualified contractors get the best tuition savings possible. Save even more with LearningTree's 50% off select IT and management courses each week. Simply visit their website today at learningtree.com/CIO. And even better news for the Beltways, save on travel costs and commuting time by attending live, hands-on, instructor-led courses at one of 10 LearningTree centers, conveniently located around the Washington area in Columbia Fulton, Manassas, Stafford Quantico, D.C. Metro Center, and more. Helping you achieve your agency's mission is LearningTree's number one priority. Act now to get 50% tuition savings. Go to learningtree.com/CIO. That's learningtree.com/CIO.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Ed Doris, the Chief Information Officer of the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency in the Treasury Department. Now, Ed, before break, we were talking a lot about your current set of projects, the programs, the stuff that's been working on for a few years now. I'm sure, like every CIO, you have a next set of priorities you're looking to or starting to work on. Give me a sense, what do you hope to accomplish over the next 6 or 9 months?
So we'll continue to build out our data analytics capability. We talked about that a few minutes ago around grid computing, continue to build out our customer service delivery model with our Tier 1, Tier 2. But what's coming up is really expanding our disaster recovery capability. We moved to a new data center. We're bringing more data in-house. We've upgraded our technology. Now we need to expand our backup and recovery processes around that. And we've taken a step back. We're doing a business impact assessment on the critical needs, looking at restore time objectives. You know, when do we need to restore these core business systems? I mean, obviously email, our web presence, that's critical, near real-time replication for that. But the other application, what are those needs? So we're working with the executives and business units on defining what that is. But also we'll be moving forward and looking at options around disaster recovery, whether it's a managed service or similar to what we do with our data center, where we look for a facility, lease that facility, and we run the disaster recovery center with our in-house resources. So we've completed our first kind of a business case on this, and again, are working with the executives. I will be going out to industry with a request for information on managed services around disaster recovery, just to get some insight into what's happening with the industry in this area and to make sure that I can, you know, really have a strong business case here and fully understand what some of the trends and emerging changes are in this discipline.
So you mentioned this, the magic word RFI. Obviously, the only other magic word we talk about here is a request for proposals. But what's your timing around this RFI and what kind of acquisition strategy are we talking about?
We're still working through the acquisition strategy on this, and the RFI will provide us that input that we need to finalize that. But I'm looking for the RFI for options around disaster recovery to probably go out later this fall, early winter time frame.
Now, to be clear, because I don't want anyone to be confused about this, obviously the OCC definitely has disaster recovery plans, procedures, and processes in place. You're just looking to maybe update it, change it a little bit.
Yes. We're looking to expand the current capability or footprint for what's in place today. Today we do annual testing on some of our core mission systems to make sure the processes and procedures are in place. We can restore as needed. But it's really to go back out and look and see what some of the emerging practices are and options. And again, we're updating our business impact assessment and understand what those requirements are and want to be able to update our strategy accordingly.
All right, something maybe look forward to in the future around the RFI. Another big issue that we talk a lot about, and you mentioned at the top of the show a little bit, is mobility and getting the people in the field access to both data applications. What are you guys doing around mobile? Have you guys done some pilots yet around, you know, iPhones, iPads, other types of tablets, whether it's Samsung or Playbook and other types of mobile devices?
Yes. Over the last year, we've done some piloting with the mobile device management, both internally bringing that capability in-house, but also working with the industry and what the options are out there. And this is likely something we will source in the cloud going forward. We have deployed BlackBerries. Majority of our staff have BlackBerries, management and examiners on the front line. We have also deployed iPads up to our executive staff and have had some really good success with that, both from when we did the piloting and prototype around the security aspects of it, but also introducing this capability to our staff. This upcoming fiscal year is a big year for this. Again, we'll finalize what our MDM solution is. There'll probably be some level of competition around this, but we'll also be rolling out the next generation of smartphones beginning towards the end of this fiscal year. There's a lot of interest around that, a lot of consideration around the whole concept of bring your own device. The one thing we are focusing on is an architecture that can accommodate any scenario around bring your own device, whether it's devices provided and you can also bring your device in and connect to the network. There's just so many scenarios here. So we're currently architecting that solution and doing some benchmarking with other organizations. But towards the end of this fiscal year, we expect to begin to roll out the new solution.
You actually took the question out of my mouth. I was thinking BYOD because as you're talking through it, do you have a BYOD policy? Does Treasury have one that you're borrowing from? Or does OCC, because of the type of information you use and deal with, maybe there's something a little different and you have a little more security needs?
Treasury's view and policy and guidance, it applies. We can work within those guidelines. We are, again, like I mentioned, benchmarking with other organizations. BYOD in some situations and organizations works very well. In others, it doesn't. And that's why we're going back with a flexible architecture as we move through the pilot prototype into deployment. We can address any situation or combination of things that come up.
One thing you brought up around the flexible architecture, define what that is maybe just a little bit more, because architecture, people's eyes glaze over, and we definitely don't want them to do that when we talk about the wire diagrams and enterprise architecture. But what you're really saying is no matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter what device you're using, there's going to be security built in on the front end, things of that. That's what you mean by flexible, correct?
That's correct. We'll provide as much flexibility without limiting all the capabilities of these devices by having the right security controls in place. And again, it may end up in a situation where we're providing, much like we do today, our employees with the device, or provide the flexibility where if an employee wishes to, they can attach to the network with their iPad, with their iPhone, with their Droid, whatever the current technology is. But that's what we're trying to do, to come up with a secure architecture that gives us the greatest flexibility. Because until you get into this piloting and the prototyping, really get a sense of what the organization is willing to follow, pursue, you need to have that flexibility.
You mentioned a potential MDM solution competition around this. Any timeline that people should look out for later this winter, maybe next spring?
I would expect that to occur later this winter. Again, we're still doing some of the market research on this, but wintertime.
All right, a couple things to look out for the vendors. And speaking of our friends in the vendor community, can you talk a little bit more about vendors and what they should know about working with your office, as well as talk a little bit about the office itself? How many employees do you have? What's your IT budget for 2013? And you may even know your 2014 budget. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes. We just had our budget approved internally. For the IT budget, we're roughly around $120 million for fiscal year 14. Today, we have on the ground, in terms of FTEs, close to 300 FTEs. In terms of contractor support, and that ranges depending on a capital project that might be in flight or whatever the workload for a given project is, anywhere from 350 to 400 contractors on the ground.
All right, a lot going on. Sounds like we're going to have you back on the show in somewhere in that 2015 timeframe or maybe before to talk about that big contract. But unfortunately, we are out of time for today. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Ed Doris, the CIO of the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency in the Treasury Department. Ed, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, Jason. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This show has been brought to you by Learning Tree International. If you missed any portion of this show, you can hear it in its entirety on demand at federalnewsradio.com.